Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Again there, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 1, and we want to read two verses of scripture there, very familiar a passage in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. Amen. It says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now look at verse 17. It says, "Therein," or in the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now notice this phrase. It says, "the just shall live by faith." What does that mean? Well, our faith in God, if we are righteous, or our faith in God is what makes us righteous, but it says that the righteous one is going to live by faith. Amen. Faith in God. Can I get amen? So we're going to begin our series tonight, a new Wednesday night series that I'm entitling This Faith Life. And so that verse that we just looked at, verse 17, there is found four times in Scripture, revealing to us something very important, that its significance to our lives. So remember, the Scripture teaches us in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So, you know, it's very important when we find a Scripture that's is listed as many times as this, four different times, four different places, it says the just shall live by faith. It's trying to get a message to us, and it's very important, obviously, that we should live by faith. And so we're going to look at some where this originated at. It originates in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. We can turn there. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. We're going to look at these four instances. Amen. Habakkuk 2, 4. Praise the Lord. Well, I can turn there, but I know we're going to have it here in just one second. Praise the Lord. Basically, it says, "the just shall live by faith." Amen. "The person that is right in God's sight and with Him lives by that faith in Him only." Amen. Habakkuk 2, 4. Then we see in Galatians, turn there with me. We're just going through the references there. One Old Testament where it's taken from, and then mentioned three times in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 3, and we want to look at verse 11. Praise the Lord. So Galatians 3 and verse 11. Here's what it says. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Amen. And then last but not least, we find in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, if you turn there with me, chapter 10 and verse 38. I'm just simply driving the point home. This faith life is obviously pretty important to God, and if it's important to God, it will be important to us. Amen. If we're going to follow Him. In verse 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul," God says, "shall have no pleasure in him." Or what one translation says, where it says draw back, it says turn back with fear. You know, this whole, the part of the exhortation there in the book of Hebrews is where the Christian church, many of the Jewish Christians, were turning back and away from the Christian faith, of faith in Christ only, and going back to Judaism. And so it's a warning about that, that it's our faith alone in Christ that we're saved by. So obviously our faith, or when we say our faith, we should have in our mind our faith in God. So faith is not some, faith always has an object and a source, and it's always God and His Word. Amen. And so our faith, or faith in God, is a big deal. It's very important. And since we can only be saved and made right with God through faith, our faith in Him, or faith in Jesus Christ, it's that much more of a big deal. And so we see here in I'm giving you some scriptures from Groundwork where we're going tonight so that we just see the significance of it, which you probably already know, but it is important. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace are you saved through what? Through faith." It didn't say through works, did it? It said, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God." Amen. Notice another verse that talks about this is Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Very important. It says, knowing, this is what we should know, knowing that a man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. See, under the Old Testament, these Jews that were getting saved, becoming believers in Jesus Christ, they were mixing the law and faith together. It's not Jesus and the keeping of the law. It's Jesus and faith in Him only. It doesn't make the law not important, but what it's saying is the law can't save you. Keeping the law alone can't save you, but your faith in Jesus Christ is what saves you. Amen. It's not our works that save us, is our faith in Jesus Christ. It says, knowing that a man is not justified or made righteous by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even he that believeth in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, the keeping the works of the law is right. It's not wrong. But it's not how we get saved, and that's what the scripture is saying, that it's our faith alone in Jesus Christ by which we are saved. Amen. So this is a significant part that we should all know, and our faith in God obviously is also very important, because only by it can we please God. Only when we are in faith. Doesn't mean God doesn't love us when we're not in faith. But we can only please God by being in faith. Where's that at? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "Without faith it's impossible to please God, for those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him." So notice, if we're going to please God, we're going to have to be in faith. Have faith in Him. Faith in His Word. This faith life is important. We need to know what it looks like and how to operate in it. So hopefully you can see from just a few of these things how important faith is to our lives, and that our faith is to be a way of life. It's not something we do on Sundays or Wednesdays. It's a way of life. And therefore, I've called this series, This Faith Life. And so let's talk about some things that we're going to be looking at in this series. In this series, we'll answer questions about faith. How many know that a lot of times, even people that have been in church for years have questions about faith? What if somebody came to you and said, "What is faith in God?" Would you have an answer for that? Well, hopefully that you would. And so this is one reason why we teach along these lines, so that not only would you know, but you'd have it good enough in you to be able to help other people. How many know that every disciple, every follower of Christ, it is God's goal for them to also become disciplers? In other words, help other people follow Christ as well. It's one thing, and it's important for us to follow Christ, but it's also important for us to help other people to follow Christ. And make no mistake about it, don't get confused and think that only preachers should know what the answer to these questions. Every believer should know these answers to these questions or these things that we'll be studying. So in this series, we'll be answering questions about faith. What faith in God is. What faith in God is. And how faith works. People want to know what faith is, and they want to know how it works. Well, we're going to be answering that. We're going to also talk about how to live by faith. How many know we need to have practical examples? And the Bible is full of practical examples of how to live by faith, and exhorting us to live by faith. And then we're going to help. This series is going to possibly, if everything, as important as anything else, is to help you grow in your personal faith in God. Everybody say personal faith. Amen. So this is where I want to begin this series today, or tonight rather, in establishing personal faith in God. Now, I realize that possibly I'm looking over the audience tonight. This may not be true. I can't see everybody online. But everybody that is here tonight possibly has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. You would say, I have personal faith in God. But I also want us to understand this, that just because we have it today doesn't mean we have it tomorrow. Because that's up to you. Faith is how you got saved. Faith is how you keep saved. How you stay saved. Your faith in God. So just because we're just walking with God, there's no guarantee that we are that way tomorrow unless we choose to walk that way. Amen. And so the reason I'm saying that, because there's always opposition that comes to people. You're going to see this now. But more importantly, or it's as importantly as this, just because we have personal faith in God, and we should, and we do, and most of you do, we need to know that there's a lot of people out there that don't have personal faith in God, and they struggle to get there, and we need to know how to help them. And in us knowing how faith in God works, and having personal faith in God, it should help us help others. So tonight, I want to talk about, in starting this series, a talk, and I'm going to call it Man's Faith Crisis. Man's Faith Crisis. And so I know this may be a little different, but I believe it's very important, because I believe that God wants to use you to reach other people to Christ. I believe that God wants you to use you to bring other people to faith in Christ. And we need to be a wiser serpent and harmless as doves, but you're going to find that you may have forgot, because you may have been saved for a long time, that you had a crisis of faith at one time. And so we want to talk about man's faith crisis and coming to personal faith in Christ. So when I say faith crisis, when I say the word crisis, the word crisis in this context means a time when a difficult or important decision must be made. So the word crisis, I'm going to say that again, is a time when a difficult or an important decision must be made. So when we're talking about a faith crisis, we're talking about a crisis when people have a personal faith crisis. Is there even a God? Come on, people have that. Is there a God? Or the faith crisis of who is God? Or that once they've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, doesn't mean that the real faith crisis is over, because what do I believe about God? So in other words, what do you mean? You could be saved and still have a faith crisis, because you'll be confronted with issues and circumstances like sickness and disease, and then you will have a faith crisis right there that will cause you to determine what you do believe about God. Is he really a savior? And is he really a healer? Is he just as much of a healer as he's a savior? See, what I'm saying is, many times we think there's no faith crisis once we get saved. But, you know, there's a faith crisis to many people even after they get saved, because what I mean by this, you're going to be confronted with things. What do I believe about God when things in life doesn't go the way I wanted it to go, or where I planned it to go? When there's hiccups and there's bumps in the road, whether that's physical, whether that's financial, whether that's relational, all those things, that's difficult and of difficulty, in that important decisions must be made what you do believe about God. Will you stay offended? Will you forgive? All these things have to do with faith crisis, because we think that only faith crisis, I'm only talking about that people come to Christ. Now, I am talking about that. But we got to be smart enough to realize that even believers that believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior, that's where it stops at. And they can, all of us, if we're not careful, if we don't let the Word determine what we believe, then there are going to be crises that's going to show up, and we believe based upon the crisis instead of what God's Word says. Does that make sense? So it's important that we understand what faith crisis. So a crisis of what they believe or what we believe, leading into personal faith or personal belief in someone or something. So someone would be God or whatever, whoever you believe in, or something would be those circumstances and situations. In other words, like say for healing, either he is a healer or he's not a healer. Come on. And so all these things, I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm just trying to be scriptural to let us know that we face all those things, and the Bible has the answer to them, and we can only have faith in God based upon what we believe God has said. We can believe something else. We can believe our experience. We can believe somebody else's experience. We can believe what's happening to us or how we feel. But God wants us to know that we're to believe what he said. And this is why I say that we will all face faith crises. Whether we will forgive, whether we will, come on, whether we will love, come on. All these things, we don't maybe look at it that way, but we should. We need to understand people everywhere. Listen, a lot of times people think that, you know, the heathen world, the unbelieving world, people just don't believe nothing. But I want you to know, and here tonight, you need to get in your mind, you need to understand that people everywhere have personal faith. But it doesn't just, it may not be faith in God. But every person, I'm going to prove to you, has personal faith. Because here's why, one reason why, because we are faith beings created by a faith God to live that way. The just shall live by. We were designed to live this way. We are created by a faith God, and we were created as faith beings to live this way. So in reality, every person, somewhere believes or believes in something, and they have personal faith. It just may not be faith in God. So the question is, what will they believe? In other words, what or who will their faith be in, and that includes us. Who or what our faith will be in. Not just them, but us. Now, for most of us tonight, we would just say, and here, sure, Pastor, it's Jesus Christ. There's no doubt on that, but I want us to understand that if we're going to reach the world for Jesus that we're called to reach, we got to understand that whether we think that people don't have some type of personal faith, they got personal faith. And God designed us to have it. Amen. We just have to be wise enough, and I'm going to share some things tonight that I believe will help us. So remember this, every person believes in something. I'm going to prove that to you tonight. Amen. Every person believes in something. So why not believe the right thing? There are all kinds and forms of faith or beliefs and still not be faith in God. Did you know that? I'm going to say that again. There are all kinds and forms of faith or beliefs. People got all kinds of beliefs. They got all kinds of faith, but it's still not faith in God. Let me show this to you it simply from the Word of God and just in a simple example. When Paul, in Acts chapter 17, turn that with me if you would. Acts chapter 17, we know that Paul on this missionary journey shows up in Athens, Greece, and we find out here in verse 16, and it says, "And while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the whole city was given to idolatry." And so, in other words, they were other gods, many gods. And when you study history, well, here's what Paul, we don't have this in our mindset to fathom how many figures and idols and gods he saw. They were everywhere, statues everywhere of all kind of gods that the people of Athens worshipped. This was commonplace in the culture of that day, especially in Athens, Greece, but not there only. And so how many know that another or other gods? There's so many religions today just don't believe in another god. They believe in other gods. How many know all of it's idolatry? Because when you worship something or someone other than the true and only God, it's called idolatry. Do you realize that even the Apostle John warned the church, flee from idolatry? He even warned the church to have no other gods before you. God had to do that in the Old Testament, did it in the New Testament. Because people put other things before God. So as we continue to read here in verse, skip to 21, and we'll read through 21 through 23. Notice what it says. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent all their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. Now let's stop there one moment. And you are too superstitious. I believe the Amplified translation says something like this: you're too reverence to demons. Because the truth is, all other gods are no more than demons. That's what they are. They're false and they're demons. They're demons behind them. Amen. They, in other words, really, they're nothing but a statue. They're nothing but and they can't speak, they can't talk. Both Old and New Testament talks about those things, makes a mock of them, but people worship them or follow them. But really what's behind that all, these other gods, is a spirit realm, which we'll talk about in just one moment, where men are actually worshiping demons that inspired the worship of things. But he's saying, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious, or your reverence to demons. Verse 23 goes on to say, for I passed by and beheld your devotions, and I found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. So Paul, in order to reach the culture of those days, see, Paul was a Jew. And the real reality to it, he was good at taking the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, and reasoning with the Jewish people from there that Jesus was the Messiah. But when it came to the Gentiles or the heathen, he had to go about it a whole different way. And so this is one reason we don't have time to talk about all that. But you notice he found an entry point or common ground to them. And he talked to them about something they worshipped. And he got to the place and he says, to the statue of the unknown God. And so the reason I'm talking about this is because what are we talking about? Every person believes in something. Okay, so let's talk about this. All forms of faith or personal belief, but just not faith in God. You want to know what some of them are? Well, he idolatry right here, we see this, but all other religions. Other religions. People have faith in a God of their religion, but it's not the faith in the God of the Bible. Do you get that? But they do believe in something. Okay, now here's a good one. Even atheism is a religion. Now, you may not think that because the atheist says there is no God. But when you study atheism, you find that they take that as a religion. They take that as a religion. And if they didn't, why do they fight so hard to say there's no God? Because if there's no God, there's no argument. Why even worry about it? But no, they actually, when you study their writings and their leaders, they actually live this way religiously, devoted to it, because there's their faith, even though they say there is no God. Or agnostic is a little different. Agnostic says, I don't believe in a God because I just ain't seen him. There might be one, but I ain't seen him, so I don't believe in him. So even atheism, or like, how about this, Darwinism, evolutionist. That is, I can tell you, when you study Darwinism and evolutionists, that they say that is a religion. They say themselves that is their religion. So they have faith, but it's not the faith in God. Not faith in the one and true God. Humanism, or a humanistic view. Having to know that today one of the things that are in the forefront is this humanistic view that we are God. Or humanity, what they're trying to do now is augment humans. It's called transhumanism, that we become, man merges with the machine and man becomes godlike, merging with AI and all those kind of things. How about maybe the one that you should know the most about or be aware of, but you may know least about, is called scientism. Scientism is maybe on the forefront of all religions today, and it's the view that science and scientific methods are the best or only way to render truth about the world and reality that we live in. I'll say that again. Scientism means the view that science and scientific methods. See, if you don't think so, just think about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, all you heard was trust the science, trust the science, trust the science, trust the science. The view that science and scientific methods, see, I'm not against science. I'm not against science. But scientism is the view that science and scientific methods are the best and the only way to render truth, the only way to render truth about the world and reality. That's what scientism is. And I'm telling you, that is where much of the world is today. Because their intellectual view, if you have to prove everything by science. Well, the sad thing is, a lot of the things that they say trust the science, they ain't even got science for. It's not even common sense, much less common science. But they want you and I to believe in it, or just take them at face value. Us mere earthlings, you know what I'm saying. So, here's an example. The scripture lets us know. How many know the scripture is always right? Romans chapter 1, why don't you turn there? Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 to 19, every person believes in something. God tells us so. And Romans 1, 18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's read verse 19. Because that which may be made known of God is manifest unto them, for God has showed it to them. Woo. So if we park right here one moment, God said that he has revealed himself to every human being. That's what God said. So the person that says there is no God, I'm not trying to be mean, God already has an answer for that. He said he already revealed himself to man. Now, in a future, we'll talk about five ways that God does that to every person, that every person's without excuse. No one will be without excuse. No one would stand before God and have an excuse why they couldn't believe in Jesus Christ. So one time we'll look at those five ways that God reveals himself to man. But notice here, it says, because that which may be known of God is already manifest to them, for God hath showed it to them. Amen. So notice that it says that The New Living Translation actually says they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them in their inner consciousness. Now, God said that. That's God's word. So, you know, a person says, well, I don't believe there's God. There's no God. Well, I'm going to tell you, verse 18 tells us why you say that. But this tells us that God says that you already know there is. And God said in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So in verse 18, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to get us to think like God thinks, because God already says, I've already showed myself to them. In our inner consciousness, we know there's a God. This is why you can go anywhere on the earth today, any foreign tribe, and they're worshiping something. Because they have faith. Their faith may be misplaced, but they have faith in something. But why? Because we are faith beings created by faith God. But notice, it says in verse 18, for the wrath of God, or God's holy wrath, his indignation, as the Amplified translation says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice it says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold there means to hide. It means to hold or suppress, or to hide or suppress. So in other words, here's what the Bible says that God says. When God reveals himself to man and man chooses not to accept God or his way, what man does is hold down or suppress or hide or choose to either hide it, suppress it from themselves or from others, from knowing the truth. They hold it down. They hold the truth down in unrighteousness and in wickedness. They hide, suppress, or hold it down. What we must understand is that God says this is what man does when he does want to have faith in God. And we see that everywhere. We see that everywhere. In one side of it, maybe I heard people talk about there's a God, and then on the other side of the mouth, they say that Jesus is fake news. And I realize that people are confused and all those things, but the church doesn't need to be confused. The reason why the church doesn't reach more people is because the church is almost not as confused, but doesn't know how to respond to these life important questions. And without that, then we're confused. And we shouldn't be. When you see, here's what we have to understand. When we understand there is a spiritual battle for the souls of mankind, including yours and mine, then you begin to see not only why there are so many beliefs, because that people believe in something, why there are so many beliefs, why there are so many faiths, but even more why faith in God becomes so important to us. See, when you understand there's a spiritual battle, there's something spiritual behind all this. We should know that as believers. Because God being our Father, we know in what the Scripture says, we have to understand all of this, all these different faiths, apart from faith in God, is pulling people away from the only way to get to God and the only way to salvation and the only way to truly live that God created us through. It's a battle for our souls. See, this is what the Scriptures, and it helps us to understand that even the person that says, I don't believe in God, they have faith in something. They have faith in something. And so Ephesians, it may be misplaced faith. It obviously is error, but we have to understand how to respond. In Ephesians chapter 6, this faith life tells us in verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. The Amplified translation says it really well. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Notice it says contending only with physical and potent opponents. I like how it adds that in there. contending, in other words, we're not just contending only with physical or with physical opponents. It means that there are some, but what is behind everything is a spiritual force. And it says, but against depositions, against the powers of against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness. Well, I hope you get that. See, in other words, behind every natural kingdom on this earth, if their master is not Jesus Christ, they are being influenced by world rulers in the spiritual realm. If Jesus is not the leader's master or that nation's Lord, that I can just tell you who's leading it, then the influence is going to come from, it tells you right here, the world rulers of this present darkness. It's pretty obvious. Can't you see that today? Oh, I don't want to claim that over America. Well, it's here. You just as well wake up. If you don't think that the people in high places are not being pulled strings by this. Now, you may say, oh, it's people pulling the strings. I get that. But behind it all is wicked spirits. Those people are being influenced by spirits. Let me just tell you something. The only way the devil has access in this earth is the only way that God has access in this earth, and that's through people. This is why Jesus had to give us authority. Oh, Lord. This is why Jesus had to give us authority. He's in heaven, but his body is in the earth. And the way he works, see, we pray a lot of things about asking God to do stuff. God is saying, you do it. You're the one in authority. You're the one in authority. God ain't going to do what we're supposed to do. This is why there has to be a pushback. This is why you have to expose darkness. This is why you have to say, no, that's enough. We're not going to do that. This is why voter integrity is important. This is why when evils of society try to roughshod over a nation, you stand up and say, no, we're the ones in authority. I'm not praying and ask God to do something about it. He told me to do something about it. And it begins by not me sitting here and shutting up and just saying, oh, well, God don't mind you praying, but he's asking you, he sure do appreciate you to pray for boldness and to stand up and call what is happening, and saying no more. And we're going to do something about changing the evils and affecting these rulers of darkness in this present world. Against the spirit forces of wickedness in heavenly or the supernatural realm. Wow. Every person believes in something. 2 Corinthians, see, the thing of it is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 tells us why they don't believe in God or Jesus. It's because if that gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. It's hid to them that are lost. And let me just tell you something. The only way they're going to hear it is if we say it. That's why God said, pray that skilled laborers are sent. Because people have to hear. That's how we enforce Satan's defeat. That's how we win over darkness. In whom the God of this world, who's the God of this world? Let me just tell you who the God of this world originally was. Anybody ever know who it originally was? It was Adam. Adam was the original God of this world. But when he sinned, he gave over that right to Satan. So actually, the humanity who was originally to be the God of this world gave Adam, gave Satan their authority. So now he is the God of this world, and he has a legal right to be here. And here's what he does. He does it really well. Blinds the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. This is why when people reject Christ and all those things, you need to walk out. I've had people reject my witness to them. I walk away and I just bind the devil. I say, devil, I bind you in Jesus' name. I say those blinders are coming off that person in Jesus' name. Now, Father, send other laborers across their path. Send other laborers across their path to speak the word of God to them. I don't let it discourage me. That's what we have to do. But this is why people are where they're at. They do believe in something, just not the God of the Bible. And here's another proof of that. Romans, go back to Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. It says, because that when they knew God, this is talking about people that have never received Christ. In other words, if they knew about God, they glorified him not as God. So in other words, God reveals himself to every person. But it says, because when they knew God, or God revealed himself to them, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, and became vain in their imaginations. They came with their own version of God, just like I did. Their own version of Jesus, their own version of God, their own version of the gospel. We all do without Jesus. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Darkened. When you do that, your heart becomes darkened so you can't see. Guess who is involved in that? Satan. And it goes on, it says, professing themselves to be wise. Oh, I'm wise. They became fools. Because a fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made unto corruptible man. Humanism. And to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. Idols, idolatry, false religion. All those types of things. This is why Satan works so hard to deceive mankind about God. Whether he gets them to believe there is no God or there's many gods, you're both lost. No God, many gods, or you become your own God. All the while deceiving and concealing who God really is. All of which leads to a man's personal faith crisis. That's what we're talking about. Man's faith crisis. Every person's personal faith crisis. I'm talking about those that right now that have rejected Christ. But I can just tell you, there's plenty of people that grew up in church and they went off to college and they had a faith crisis. They went to higher levels of education. They had a faith crisis. Because it can't be no longer your mama's or your daddy's faith or your grandmama's faith. It has to be your faith. This is why the gospel of Jesus Christ must be preached. I'm going to finish with this. It has to be preached. And Romans 10, let's read this portion of Scripture. We'll be finished tonight. Hope this has helped. This ain't hurt. Amen. Hopefully it brought some answers into questions and us be better at how to reach people and help prevent personal faith crisis, or how to address it when people do, or why this happens. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek to God, the same Lord over all is rich unto all them that call upon him. So God doesn't care whether you're a Jew or you're Greek. He's going to be rich to all those that believe on him or call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name, whosoever. God's not prejudiced, or does he show partiality. Man does, but God don't. God don't care what color you are, what side of the tracks you grew up on, what gender you are, what kind of affiliation. Come on, God don't care about that. We all come, if we're part of the human race, come to God the same way. Through faith in Jesus Christ. We get there one way. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. And people fight because we fight because of hatred about race and gender and all the confusions that man had. God ain't confused about that. If we would just come God's way, then there would not be no confusion. All that division and stuff, racism, prejudice, and all those kind of things is all work of the devil. Every bit of it was work of the devil. And get the church all confused and riled up because they don't know no better. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Well, you can't. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring, let's stop right there, and bring glad tidings of good things. Let me tell you something. The preparation of the gospel of peace, the readiness to preach the gospel to a person who's lost and undone, and they hear the true gospel and the blinders come off and the light of the gospel. Oh, that's the most beautiful. There's the most beautiful and the most powerful and the most peaceful encounter anybody could ever have. I remember today, it's been 38 years ago, that day I bowed my knee at that altar. I came up a different person. I didn't know what all that happened. I just knew I had peace with God. I had an encounter with God. I couldn't articulate it. I just knew I was changed. I was forgiven. I was at peace. And let me tell you something. Every person that comes this way is bringing glad tidings of good things. Notice it goes on in verse 16. It goes on. It says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. Obviously, they haven't. Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Well, I can tell you who hasn't believed the report, those that haven't heard it. This is why it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Only by hearing God's word can personal faith in God come to man. This is why the devil would do everything to keep a person out of a church like this. We ain't the only church. There's many churches that preach the gospel. God bless for every last one of them. But the devil will work and try. I mean, tell you, he'll give the person every kind of reason why not to come. Because he knows if he can keep them concealed from it, or them it held down from them, away from them, and them not hearing the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel has the power to break it. Let me tell you something. You can pray for somebody as long as you want, but they still need laborers to go and because you can pray and prepare the hearts. Prayer is important, but you also need to ask laborers to go, or you go. And make sure they hear the gospel, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By hearing by the word of God. Only by hearing the word of God can personal faith in God come. See, people have personal faith, but it may not be faith in God. And we're to have faith in God. When I say faith in God, I'm talking about faith in the only true and living God. There's not many true and living gods. There's only one. His name is Jesus. One God, one Lord, one faith. That's what the scripture says. I didn't make that up. God said it. I believe it. This is why we must hear it to have faith in God to be saved. This is why they must hear it to have faith in God to be saved. And why we must preach it so that people can know the truth and others can be saved. And that will put an end to their personal faith crisis or their man's faith crisis. At least they get to God. Now, that faith crisis, once again, once you come to Christ, you're saved. So that faith crisis ends. But I can just tell you, there's other faith crises. I'm just telling you that believers have. That's apart from making Jesus their Lord. What else do they believe? I'm going to say it again. What else are we believing about our God? What do we believe about healing? What do we believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What do you believe about prosperity? What do you believe about walking up? All these things, you're going to be hit with things. People are going to be nasty and the devil don't play fair. And let me just tell you something. There's a, there's a, there, there's, man, you couldn't get the people in this church. This church couldn't hold the people that don't go to church, that one time went to a church that offended. You know why? You know why? You know what it's called? It's called what I just talked about tonight, a personal faith crisis. Because when the nasty hit, they didn't respond. Come on, Brother Ryan, help me. When the nasty hit, whenever that problem hit, their faith may have been in Jesus Christ, but their faith won't end forgiveness to other things that Jesus said. So there still was a faith crisis. There was still, they still may have faith in Jesus Christ. But you know, the ultimate thing is, if you stay offended long enough, don't let me tell you something. Don't fool yourself. The ultimate goal is you stay offended long enough that you stay out of church, and then you start saying stuff like this. Well, there ain't no hell. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I talk to people who say, they were in this church at one time. They don't even believe there's hell anymore. And then, but the ultimate goal is to get you to turn your back on Jesus Christ. Well, I really don't believe in Him anymore. Don't think that can't happen. This is why, can you see why in this faith life, the very first thing I hit tonight was man's faith crisis. And we have to understand, see, you settled it, Larry. But Jesus Christ, you ain't going nowhere. Amen. But when things happen, there's other things that we need our faith in God for. We gotta handle Jesus being our Lord the same way we gotta handle Jesus being our healer, Jesus being, come on, our peace, come on, Jesus being our provider. Because there's gonna be, people are living in crisis, but you know what it's called? A faith crisis. Because their faith is in something. Doesn't mean they're evil. Doesn't mean they're bad. It just, we haven't thought in line with the Word. It's called a faith crisis. And the truth is, all of us can have one. But if we have the Word and that faith is in Jesus in those areas, we don't have to have a faith crisis. It can come, but it's going to leave just the same way it came, the other way. Come on. Come on. Let's stand to our feet tonight and thank God that your faith is in God. This faith life, praise the Lord. Hope this has helped you tonight. It didn't hurt you. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for personal faith in Jesus Christ. I thank you for a church that's strong in you and the power of your might. And Father, we thank you tonight that you're giving your people boldness. You're giving us boldness, that you're making us the laborers that are sent into the harvest. Lord, we have answers, and there's questions that the world have, but you're giving us a mouth and wisdom that even our adversaries should not be able to gainsay or resist. And we have answers for those things and help that doesn't magnify us, but it points people humbly and correctly to Jesus Christ. So, Father God, we thank you and praise you. Make this church a blessing to our families, our communities, our workplaces, our world, oh God. And thank you. The good work that you've begun in each, you will bring it to completion at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you tonight. We praise you tonight. We thank you that you are good. Lord, I know that there's things that people go through. I'm not discounting any of that. But Lord, I thank you. Help us to always see that the answer is the same answer. And sometimes we don't like to hear it because it puts us back in the one in the responsibility. But it's the same answer that Jesus gave Peter when he turned and saw the fig tree cursed and wondered how it was done. He just said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Father, I speak that over each and every one of our people today and say that they will win. You're giving them wisdom. No, they cannot control the people or the circumstances around them, but they can believe and trust you. And in that, you are working on their behalf and in that situation. And Lord, we declare over our family, over our loved ones, that blinders come off and deception comes down and moves out of the way, and the things that have suppressed and held back the truth of God is destroyed out of their lives. And we declare the right laborers with the words of life and of good doctrine spoken to them. And their hearts are broken up. That fallow ground is broken up so they can receive the incorruptible, indestructible word of God and be saved. And Father, I thank you that over this church, I speak each and every one be in good ground and bringing forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold for the glory of God. We give you the praise and give you the glory for it all in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.